Paul?
Praying for those who have the rule over us, the president and the government.
Yeah, governors. Very good. Bedtime prayers. Family prayers. Husband and wife times of prayer. Praying with friends. You have a friend, you just want to spend some time in prayer with him. How often does that happen, brothers, sisters? Do we do that? Do we feel free to just, let's have a time of prayer together? Oh, that God would make that a common thing. All night prayer, like the Lord Jesus. A night of prayer. Especially when you're grieving over something, or maybe you're, like has been shared here, a major decision in your life. Direction to go, spending a night in prayer. How about prayer in grief, like in Hezekiah's time? Turned his face to the wall and wept and prayed. Or prayer in desperation, like Hannah's prayer. Lord, give me a son and I'll give him to you. Praise for victory. Don't forget that one. When God does something in your life and you succeed in overcoming a temptation, prayers of thanksgiving and praise for that victory. Singing prayers, like we have in our hymnal. I am so blessed by this, the conglomeration of prayers that we have in our hymnal. Worship and adoration, just times of worship and adoration. When you're happy and the sun is rising or setting and you're full of elation and joy, turning that and addressing it to God in prayer, worship and adoration. Watching in times of temptation, like when the temptation's real strong and you turn to prayer to stay alert against it. It's the opposite of sleeping. Praying in sickness. Yeah, I guess that was mentioned. Okay. We are missing the scene of Christians on their knees in prayer in the house of God. And I'm calling this room the house of God, and I hope you all understand how I mean that. We consider this a holy place because of who gathers here, not because of this is like the Temple of Solomon. But we do consider a holy place. The Church of God gathers here every week, more than once a week. This is the house of God, as we see. And how often do we see Christians kneeling in prayer? Is this a house of prayer, like Jesus said? When we come together, is this a house of prayer? Just a question for our hearts. Do we come here feeling free to kneel in our seats to pray as we prepare to worship? Would you feel free? As in that 10 minutes of quietness as we wait for the morning service to begin, would you feel clear to just turn around in your seat and begin the service with a time of private prayer? You should feel free. Jesus said, "Mine house shall be called an house of prayer." People should come here feeling free, free from the oppression of those forces in our life that want to keep us from prayer. When a man comes into my house, among the people of God, there should be a liberty and a freedom to pray in our midst. All right, I'd like to say just a little bit of a word about the practice of rising early for secret prayer. I read this quote from Robert Murray McChain, and it kind of put my own experience into words, so I'll just read it for you. "I ought to pray before seeing anyone. Often when I sleep long or meet with others early, it is 11 or 12 o'clock before I begin secret prayer. This is a wretched system. It is unscriptural. Christ arose before day and went into a solitary place. David says, 'Early will I seek thee.' And Jonathan Edwards says, 'Men rise early to do those things they are most interested in.' Thou shalt early hear my voice, says King David. Family prayer loses much of its power and sweetness, and I can do no good to those who come to seek from me. The conscience feels guilty, the soul unfed, the lamp not trimmed. Then when in secret prayer the soul is often out of tune, I feel it is far better to begin with God, to see His face first, and to get my soul near Him before it is near another. That would be my testimony too. I'm not very old in the faith, 16 years, 17 years maybe. Well, maybe 20 by now. I'm getting older. But that is my testimony too. There is a difference in your day, isn't there? Some of you that have been in Christ a while, you can probably affirm that. There's a difference in the day when prayer is missed in the morning. And I don't say all that to lay a law down upon those that have circumstances that might require seeing someone earlier than you're up in the morning. But it does. It hinders something. You know, it's just, I don't feel as prepared when I haven't had that quiet time just to pour my heart out to God. It's a real thing. So I encourage and would admonish all of you to just make it a habit in your life that if you have your day have to begin at such and such a time, then you're up at such and such a time so that you can spend time with God. And I know our lives kind of vary. Sometimes there's earlier days that, you know, maybe Bible school and you've got to run for some students or something like that. Well, just roll your whole day earlier. You know, and you know, I have an hour I need to spend in prayer this morning. I don't want to miss that. So if I've got to get up 2 hours early to go get it, then I'm up. I still have my hour of time to get up and spend time. I think you'll all prosper. I hope you hear me. You'll prosper. It's not legalism. It is communion. It is sweet communion. It is the strength of your life. The devil just loves to see it. And don't think he doesn't mark the day you were too busy to pray. Don't think he doesn't mark it. He had everything to do with the fact that you missed it. All right, I'd like to admonish the young men a little bit. Young men, you have been born in the last hours of this earth. Do you believe that, young men? Take it from me, you are in the last hours of earth. You read the Bible and see the things going on in the world. This place is coming to an end. You are in the last hours. If John could write and say, the end of all things is at hand, surely today you are born in the last hour of life. That's where you're at in history. Mark it down, young men. You are in the last hours of earth. The devil has been cast out of heaven, the Bible says, and has come down to you, O inhabitor of the earth. In the book of Revelation, it says so. He is very angry. He knows that he has but a little time before his judgment day arrives. His evil heart is plotting your demise. Young men, today, at this moment, his evil heart is plotting for you. He wants you to go with him into judgment. He is plotting it. He is conniving and scheming and working his work to bring your heart into subjection to his will, as Timothy says, as it says in the book of Timothy. He wants you to do his will. If you do not watch and pray, young men and boys, if you do not watch and pray, he will catch you, destroy you, devour you, and take you with him to eternal flames. That is true. That is the truth. If you do not watch and pray, you are going to be caught. So I admonish you, boys, if you will do well for your souls, then put on this final powerful piece of spiritual armor, continual prayer. If you want to be a man of God, if you want your soul to enter into eternal life, if you want to do something for someone and be of value in the world someday, then you put on this piece of armor, I am going to be a man of continual prayer, even as a boy. Daniel did it. Other young men did it. It is not exclusive to old men. And the earlier you do it, I promise you, the less you'll regret it as you get older. And I see some older heads nodding. Things to pray for. All right, we get into our closets and it's time to pray. What are things that we should be praying for? What are the sorts of things that we fill times of prayer with? Anybody have some suggestions? Ernie. Praise the Lord. Good starting place, brother. Thank you. Good starting place. Start your time of prayer with praise. Praying for others. Like who? Okay, pray for your family, Ronnie. Raise your hand. Let's get a speaker here so everyone can hear. Another one? What are some other things that fill our times of prayer? Jeremy back there?
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
And if you see the news in the newspaper or hear at all, Israel's often in the news. And the scriptures are yet to be fulfilled that Jesus Christ will reign in Zion. I believe that literally. And
I do too.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the coming of the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Pray for Jerusalem, the city of the great King. Who else? Jeremy.
Our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in our local body.
Okay. Pray for one another. Who else? Orion.
Having a time of surrender, discerning of your will to the Lord.
Very important. Come to God and just surrender. Lord, is there anything you want to speak to me about my life? Anyone else? Tavi?
The missionaries that we may know.
Yeah. I remember that verse of Scripture pertaining to that. Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. That we might have an open door. And then he also says, pray for the Word, that the Word would have free course. Brother Steve up here.
The Bible says that we should enter his gates of thanksgiving and enter his courts of praise.
Thanksgiving and praise.
Pray for boldness and not to be afraid of man, and that we would be used of the Lord to witness and share Christ with others. But
Amen.
The apostles often prayed for boldness.
That's right. Yeah, Paul actually the apostle Paul, who we consider very bold, said, pray for me that I might be bold as I ought. Anyone else? Luke here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, pray for our relatives who don't know the Lord.
Okay, pray for sinners who are lost. Pray for poor lost sinners.
Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth more laborers into his harvest.
Okay, pray for workers, missionaries. Back here, Melvin, on your left there. Okay, Prasha, Jason, go ahead.
Pray that we can be a light to those that we meet through the day.
Uh-huh. Do you have something, Prasha? Okay, Melvin?
Yes, we shall pray more for the Hutterites and the lost souls.
Amen.
It's important for us to put God in the center of our prayers, that His name will be lifted up in the area where we live and where we kind of have influence, that we can be as His Son, as Jesus was, in the world whenever we go. So to put God in the center of our prayers, His name will be exalted.
Amen. Where are we?
I believe it's important to pray for the church and pray for the people that are in authority over us, and also to pray for the salvation of men's souls, especially the people that we are in contact with a lot.
Mm-hmm. Fellow workers, I appreciate that. Don?
To intercede for the souls of men.
Mm-hmm. Intercession. What else should fill our prayers? Praying for one another. It's sort of been mentioned, but I should define it more. The lost art of worship in prayer is very important. We need to learn how to worship. Worship means, like Ryan said, coming with a totally surrendered heart, acknowledging who God is, extolling His greatness, mm-hmm. dwelling upon His glory. Mm-hmm. Adoration is a very important part of our worship. We should pray for our enemies. Did we have another one? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, kind of along the lines you're saying, filling our prayers with the Scripture itself will mm-hmm. give us, you know, structure and food for thought, mm-hmm. what to say.
Yeah, not all talking to God, but also reading the Word and receiving it to ourselves and communion. Good, very good. Then, also in 1 Colossians 1, 9 and 10, through 10, Paul teaches us to pray for other churches. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a prayer we can pray for that little church that we heard about that's struggling over there. Or that church over there that has a problem. Even a church that's doing well, we can lift them up in prayer. Paul says, always in my prayers I think of you. All right. And lastly, I'd like to just make mention from the book of Jude. If you'd like to turn there, Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Praying in the Holy Ghost. In prayer, open your heart to the Spirit of Christ Jesus. When you go to pray, open your heart to the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Let go your natural inhibitions and pour out your heart with the help of God's Spirit. Just recognizing that I'm here and I need even the work of the Spirit of God in my heart, even to pray as I ought, like it says in Romans chapter 8. Do not only speak of those things you know you should pray about, but speak honestly to God about the inner fears and cares and joys and desires of your heart. Praying in the Holy Spirit, there's an openness there. There's a total transparency with God. The conscience is not trying to duck and avoid and hide and say things and then get out of there. But it's an open communion with God in prayer. Everything's clear. Lord, do you have something you want to say to me this morning? I have these things I'd like to share with you this morning. Speak honestly to God about your inner fears and cares, the joys and desires of your heart. If your heart is like stone and cold, and I know sometimes it is, sometimes you come in there and you've had a full day and things didn't go well and maybe your inner spirit is wroth up a bit. If you come to God like that, ask the Spirit of God to soften your heart and commune with you. Get quiet. Stay there. Get quiet. Let your heart be there. Bring that stony, cold heart to God and say, Lord, soften my heart. My heart's so cold this morning. Talk to Him about it. Do not be despairing if prayer seems to be a duty and you cannot please your own expectations. How many have ever felt that way? Be honest. Boy, I didn't feel like I had a very good prayer time this morning. You know, this isn't really going anywhere. I might as well just hang it up here. I'm not getting anywhere. Those are real thoughts in many of our lives. But think of this. You have no other recourse. When you have those thoughts, oh, I might as well just hang it up here. I'm not getting anywhere. Think of this. You don't have any other recourse. There's no replacement for prayer, brothers and sisters. There is no other place. You leave that room, you're not going to replace what you missed somewhere else. Pray on. Pray. And pray about praying. The day that you cease to pray, be assured that the adversary of your soul will mark it well. The adversary of your soul watches you. He knows your life. And he, just as all of heaven sees and takes joyful notice of the penitent sinner on his knees in prayer, so also does our enemy know if we are without the armor of constant prayer. You see, he says he has stopped praying. He says it to himself. Ah! He stopped praying. And then he crouches like a lion awaiting the strategic moment to destroy and devour you. And those are not just scary words. That's reality in the world that you cannot see. There is a reality. The Word of God exposes it to us. He's like a roaring lion going about to and fro looking for someone to devour. And that someone, my friends, is your soul. God, that devil wants your soul. You dare not cease to pray. So what? Let's just draw the line under all of what's been said today. You know what the bottom line is? It's very simple, children. Rise and pray. Rise and pray, Christians. Let's not give up on prayer. But rather, let's all the more, as we see the day approaching, encourage one another to lives of prayer. Well, I gave this little message the title, The Revival of Prayer. And I wonder, is there someone here this morning that needs a revival in your prayer life? I don't mean that you just aren't living up to your expectations, but you are utterly failing in your prayer life. And I'm not faulting you. But maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, that is so outside of my experience, it's not funny. Well, don't give up hope. The things I've just said are for you. Maybe you're here and you know in your heart, I need a revival in prayer. What would you pay for a revival in prayer? What are you willing to pay? Would you be willing to pay the humiliation of standing up and coming forward at an altar and just saying, God, I am done with my prayerlessness. I want a fresh work of your Spirit in my prayer life. Would you be willing to pay that? Do you think that would help? Well, I would like to open it up that way this morning. If, Brother Michael, we could have a song. And if you feel like you would like to respond to a message like this, and you feel like in your life, I'm not trying to bring a condemnation upon every Christian here. I know all of us could respond to this, to an invitation here. But if you know there's a real issue in my life, in my prayer life, I just don't need an improvement. I need a revival. I need a total overhaul. I am not a man of prayer. I am not a woman of prayer. If that's you, I would encourage you, while we sing, we'll stand and sing, if everyone will stand. While we stand and sing, would you just slip out of your seat, come up here, and tell God, Lord, I confess it. I give up. I surrender my prayerless life to you and begin a prayer life this morning. Can we do that, Michael? What can we sing there?
335. Can we stand?
Yes, let's stand, please.
Oh, God, come and with you all. Praise God. It does my heart good. God bless each one of you. May God grant you every desire beyond your wildest imagination. Every one of your holy desires, longing for a prayer life. God, make you men of prayer. God, make you women of prayer. Let's have a word of prayer here while these are at the altar. And if you're still sitting, you're standing in your seat and you know you should be up here on your knees, then don't wait. Do come. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you still speak by your holy word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you still receive sinful men. That you still love us and care for us. That your kind eye is upon us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that still strives with men. Lord, we bless you and thank you for it this morning. Grant to every one of these their desires, Lord. Look upon every heart, purge and purify all things, Lord. I pray that you would change lives from this day, Lord. Would you send us home for changed lives, changed priorities, changed prayers, changed families, changed powers. God, let our neighbors see a radiance in our lives because we spend time with God. I pray you'd forgive our prayerlessness, Lord. Forgive it. Put it in the sea, Lord, and let it not be brought up again. Bring thy Spirit to our aid and give us prayerful hearts. Thank you, Lord. We submit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. If you'd like to continue praying, you're welcome to use the prayer rooms at the back. And the rest of you, if you'd like to go back to your seats, if you'd like to open it up here a little bit. Praise the Lord, He still works. You all may be seated. Does anyone have a testimony or confession or something they'd like to add to the message that they feel like all of us would benefit from? Darren? Just raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you so that you can be heard. Go ahead, brother.
I would just like to say that over the past 6 years, I have been blessed with a life of prayer. I do say as well that I'm not perfect and I was very challenged this morning. But the blessing is there. We're willing to take the time. Sometimes in my past I was a hunter. And there was times I got up at unearthly hours of the morning. Mm-hmm. And yet, the conviction was there to spend time first with God. And I feel like He has richly blessed me for it.
Amen.
And I would just encourage each one here, especially the young men, to take that time with God.
Amen. Good words. Thank you, brother. Brother Ross? Brother, go ahead.
I want to confess that I don't always pray when the Lord wakes me up in the morning. And I was the one who challenged everybody that, if a man wants to be good at whatever he wants to be good in life, he has to practice. And that's the way prayer works. If you, the first time you, whatever you did, you were poor at it.
Right.
So we just keep at it and keep at it, and you're going to improve. And may God bless you all.
Amen. Brother Ross?
I appreciated the message this morning and need it myself. I don't feel like I've arrived there. But I had a thought on the topic of repetition, vain repetition. I really appreciated the emphasis you put there. One thing that I found helpful is to not always use the same words. Sometimes intentionally alter the way I say something. Because if we don't do that, we tend to get in a rut of always saying it the same way.
Uh-huh.
And it's not wrong to say it the same way tomorrow morning and the next morning if my heart is in it.
Uh-huh.
But what often happens is you almost get into the automatic mode where you can pray without thinking what you're praying.
It becomes meaningless.
That's right. That's right. And I feel like in this area of vain repetition, it's good for all of us to ask our families, how am I praying? Because it's a little bit like public speaking. You know, we have these nervous gestures. Maybe it's scratching our head or clearing our throat or just saying, you know, and we don't even realize we're doing it. And the same thing can happen in prayer where we're using fillers in prayer and we don't even realize how often that we're saying, oh my Lord, or, you know, how those things can just, you don't even realize you're saying it. But the people around you hear it because it's not them praying.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing to ask our families and those who hear us praying, hey, am I using vain repetition? Another thought I had was that I think sometimes people, this may happen to young Christians, go down a spiral of condemnation because they feel like they should be so spiritual that they always want to pray. They feel like if they have to force themselves to pray, then it's praying in the flesh. And Satan uses that to destroy young Christians' prayer lives. And, you know, I hear David in the Psalms saying, awake my soul, as if he's having to force himself to get out of bed.
He does, that's right.
And I still have to set the alarm clock across the room. That's just an honest confession this morning. You know, otherwise, I'll just hit the thing. Be back to sleep and I don't even know it went off.
Right.
But if I have to set it across the room, and I don't think that's unspiritual, if my heart is right in it, you know, I've got to get up and pray.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. That's very good. That's very good. Yeah, along the lines of vain repetition, those phrases, I have loathed those things in my own prayer life. When I'm praying, and I suddenly realized that the last two sentences I said I didn't even think about, but I was thinking about something else. I loathe that. Okay, go ahead, Aaron.
One of the things about the vain repetition issue that I've also thought of is it also mentions fair speeches, and I'm thinking of eloquent speech. You know, when we're praying, we're talking and speaking to a real and mighty God. But we're speaking to one who loves us and died for us. We're speaking to one who is merciful and kind. And we're speaking to a friend. And if I speak to y'all, I'm not going to speak in an eloquent way every time. Sometimes I'll just speak plainly. And if I speak to y'all, sometimes I may repeat myself, but not always. It's not a real conversation if I were to take Philip Hudson and say the same thing to Philip every day I see him, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no conversing there. And prayer is really a conversation with God in a lot of ways. And if he's real to you, if he's real to you, then you're not doing this because you're doing a religious exercise. You're not doing it because you think you have to do something or have to say it in such a way. You're actually speaking to one who is real. And yes, he's mighty and powerful, but he's your friend too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else?
I actually have a question, David. When you talk about coming in here, making a house of prayer, and perhaps kneeling here, a few thoughts that come up in my mind about that is, I think some of us might even wonder why Daniel went to the window and could be found out, you know, and prayed. It's like, why didn't he just sort of avoid being seen? And so we might sit down and pray and think it's sort of... and the sackcloth and ashes, you know, and people. And so I think perhaps some of them thought that when they fasted, they should make it look like they're fasting. And we're warned against that. And sometimes I think we think, well, I can just sit here and pray. And so I think something has sort of torn away our liberty to just humbly kneel, thinking that we might be being sort of, in Romania, I mean, I've seen it many times, and I love it. But something sort of has stole that liberty away from my heart, and I don't know, what do you think that might be?
Well, I'm not sure of all the motivations there, but I know that the fear of being a hypocrite, or some of us, you know, we're wrestling with the sin of pride or whatnot, and we actually overreact to it and become stoic or unfeeling. So that can be a cause of that. But I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus. Many times He went a distance and fell on His knees and prayed. He said to His disciples, He said, "Wait here while I go over there and pray." And He just went a few spaces, got on His knees and prayed right in front of His disciples, and didn't consider it arrogant or anything like that. So I think we do well to follow His example. Who else? Jordan.
I think what I was going to say would almost imitate what Arthur said, because of somebody mentioned over here, I think Steve Clark mentioned about having a boldness, a certain boldness to pray. And I remember in my younger Christian years when I you always get those feelings, well, if I pray, maybe somebody will hear me. And then you, David, talked about just shutting the door when we pray that way, like corporately pray. You have to really, I know I had to learn to just shut the door and just pray to God alone, and have to worship in a way that is right for my own heart. And I'm talking more to young people here. I know in my own family it's that way. We often talk about not being afraid to share our faith or speak up about God and just be an example for Christ. And it goes down the same line to me. If we're afraid to confess Christ before men, Christ will not confess Him before us. But anyway, I learned a lot from that, because we should not be afraid to mention the Word of God among people. And I would also like to take this opportunity here, if I could now, to thank everybody that contributed in helping me to get this wheelchair van. And I know you all know who you are, and the Lord has blessed us with it now. We just bought it yesterday, and I'm so thankful for all your help and for the things that you did for us and contributing to that need. So I just want to voice my appreciation for what you did for me. So thank you.
Amen. In Jesus' name, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, I thank God too this morning for both of the messages. In my heart, they went together. The one at the beginning about being open about where we're at. And I confess that I do not pray as I should. And it is my heart's cry that God would teach me to pray, that I would love to spend time with Him, seeking in prayer that His will would be fulfilled. And we also talked about things to pray for here. And one that I thought of that I wanted to mention, something that's on my heart, is the persecuted Christians, our brothers and sisters, who are being persecuted because of their testimony and their love for Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. I often think that if I was in their shoes in prison or being tortured, I would love to know that there were other saints praying for me.
Amen. Any other testimonies? Confessions? Brother Ernie?
I just want to let you know that we're moving back to South Dakota on Friday, me and my family and Luke and his family, and we want to ask you to pray for us that the Lord would bless us on our way. And we also want to say thank you for being such godly examples to us and having influence in our lives. We love you all, and we ask you now to pray for us as we go on our way. The Lord bless you all.
Amen, brother. Okay. All right, I guess we'll close right there then.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.